Hello, friends. Welcome to the Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Britz.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time feeling like we're on some incredible fucking drugs in Valen Wonderworld.
Hey, yep.
But first, we would like, well, actually, Reb would like to think. See, I'm already on those drugs, man. I'm still feeling the effects of those Valen drugs.
It's the come down. That's what we're on right now.
Reb would like to thank the following podcast reviewers, Bugmill and Trev9316 for his two belly rubs. As you may or may not know, we have this fun little thing where every time we get a new podcast review, we give our dog a belly rub.
And he loves it.
And he loves it.
And we like giving our dog belly rubs, but mostly he likes getting them.
So if you would like to donate one belly rub to our dog, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a podcast review on your platform of choice, we would highly, highly appreciate it. And don't worry, even if you don't give us a podcast review, we're still going to give our dog many belly rubs.
Just picture Reb with big puppy dog brown eyes looking at you and saying, can I please have a belly rub?
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Our derpy dog would love some belly rubs. So let's talk about Valen Wonderworld, shall we?
We shall.
So the TLDR on this game is that it released on March 26th, 2021. This was not a review copy, so we spent $60 on this game. I'm pretty sure it would be classified as a platformer. Its ESRB is E10+, developed by Arzest and Valen Company, published by Square Enix for the Switch, PS4, PS5, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. It supports two-player local co-op only. And like I mentioned above, MSRP is $59.99. So let's talk about this plot.
Wait, this has a plot?
This has, yeah.
Please tell me.
What do you think the plot is?
Dude, I have no fucking clue.
We've joked a lot on this show about how Jason never pays attention to the story because, like, he just is all there to, quote, kill shit, shoot things if it's a shooter, punch things if it's an action game, etc. But even me, someone who really pays attention to the story, I had to look this one up. So here we go. The setting for this, and this comes from the official website. The setting for this tale is the fantastic imaginary land of Wonderworld, a place where people's happy and positive memories mix with their restless worries and negativity. Leo and Emma are led into the Wonderworld by the enigmatic, did I say that right?
Enigmatic.
Thanks. Maestro?
Maestro?
Maestro? Is it Maestro?
I think it's Maestro.
God. Valen and set off on a journey to find what is most precious to them. Before they can return to the real world, they must first restore the lost balance in their hearts. There are 12 different tales that await in Wonderworld, each with their own unique quirks. They will explore all corners of these labyrinth stages, using all the tricks and gimmicks hidden along the way to get to the heart of each touching story. And as you play the game, there are over 80 costumes that you can unlock that unlock. Well, I guess they don't really unlock. I mean, I guess technically you do have to unlock them because you need keys to access them, but they give you different abilities like bashing enemies, walking in the air, you can freeze time, climb spider webs, etc. So like that's Valen Wonderworld in a nutshell. All right.
If you were to ask me to say like TLDR, what you just said, I don't even fucking know.
I'm still trying to say enigmatic maestro. Nailed it.
Enigmatic maestro.
That's me, like my new daily exercise.
The enigmatic maestro?
Just say it out loud like five times
fast.
Sounds
like a band name or some shit.
I'm into that. I would buy their
CD.
All right.
Buy that.
So before we get into this episode, I just want to make a note that there is a free demo of Valen Wonderworld available for all those platforms that we mentioned above. And it features three worlds, the man who rages against the storm, the boy who would be one with the wind, and the girl and her kitten. And I'm going to highly recommend you play this game, experience it for yourself.
Play
the demo. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I highly recommend you play the free demo because while we are going to give you our honest impressions of the game, which is, if you can't tell by now, it's kind of odd. It's not great, but we're still going to tell you what this game is all about and remain as objective as possible. And maybe by the end of this, you'll think, hey, this sounds like a game for me. So just no matter what you do, just please play the free demo.
First.
Yep. Before you play.
Which we did not know. So also, if you invent a time machine, please send us this episode, before we bought the game and paid full price for it.
Yeah. Okay. So another little disclaimer I want to make is that Balin Company was founded in 2018 by Yuji Naka, who is the Sonic the Hedgehog and Nights into Dreams creator. Now, I want to say this because I think when certain people hear that, they might think, oh, I know what to expect, or I know what I'm signing up for. Mm-hmm. So now that we have all that out in the blue.
Yes.
What the fuck is this game?
This game is like taking some drugs and then that's probably about it. That's what this game is like. Now, okay. Have you ever seen the Cartoon Network show Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This game is kind of like that. You don't know what the fuck is going on. There are shit. There's things happening, and you don't know why. Okay, shall we start with a visual of what this let's paint the picture.
Yeah. All so right. Painting the picture. Actually, speaking of that, I think visually and audio wise, like this game actually isn't terrible. I think it's pretty to look at in the sense it's like bright, cartoony colors. You know, the cinematics, mm-hmm. like the opening sequence, you can see it. You know, being something interesting and good.
Yeah.
So the way it looks isn't bad.
Art style, what would you say? What's it close to?
Oh, I don't really know. It's kind of like its own thing. Kind of like cartoonish.
It's like a
JRPG-y sort of style here. But really bright colors. And I would say pretty catchy music. Like some of the music is still stuck in my head.
Yeah, same.
And we haven't played it in a few days. I think we've set the controller down literally on this one.
Yep.
So... Again, like this is a platformer, and in the beginning I said I'm pretty sure this will classify as a platformer because we've played 3 or 4 of the levels.
Yeah.
Maybe spent 4 to 5 hours playing the game, and we've seen enough that we know we don't want to continue personally. But again, we are here to be the objective co-op show where we tell you all about the games you may or may not be interested in. So this is a platformer. So the first odd thing about this game is that all of the buttons, well, by all, I mean X, Y, B, and A are all jump.
Yeah, that was a little weird, but uh-huh.
Yeah. They're all jump.
So you move your character and you jump, no matter what button you push. Yeah, you move
the analog stick and the bumper buttons are used for changing your costume. And I think that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier, the costumes give you different abilities and there's over 80 of them, which on paper.
But each ability just, from what we found, is just like... It turns one of your jump buttons into something else, which might also be jump, but...
You're forgetting about the pounding pig costume.
The pounding pig? I don't think I was ever able to get that one.
I got the pounding pig, which lets you basically butt stomp.
You remember I got like the like go erect costume?
Oh yeah, what was that?
I don't know. It was like
it was this odd
cactus thing or whatever.
Here's the thing, Red, is we just didn't know what to expect when we hopped into this, and it literally blew our minds in just the weirdest way possible.
All right, so these costumes are like in Mario. You know how you get like the raccoon or the cat costume, and it gives you some new ability.
It's the Tanuki costume,
whatever. So these costumes, it's like there's like 80 of those, I guess, and so you can get these costumes, and now you've got a new ability. You can store them just like in Mario, and you can cycle through them. Depending on what your needs are.
You can have 3 at a time.
3 at a time, yeah. And they might give you an attack or they might give you like a floaty jump, kind of like, you know, think like Peach in Mario, something like that. And that's
some of them let you freeze
time.
Some of them let you walk in the air. We didn't unlock
like go into water.
Go into water. Uh-huh. You can become like a jellyfish human hybrid nightmare thing. Yeah, so that's kind of like where the core mechanic lies in is these different costumes. So... The idea of these levels, and there are 12 in total, is that they are, quote, born from the heart. So one of the first level you'll play is called The Man Who Rages Against the Storm. Is about a farmer whose entire field of crops is wiped out by a storm. And as you're playing the level, you get this little cinematic at the beginning. As you're playing the level, you'll see the farmer standing, dancing, doing whatever it is he does randomly throughout the level. The level is themed around farm stuff. So there's like crops everywhere. There's random creatures dancing everywhere. Like it's just a whole thing. There's another one where it's about a girl and a dolphin. And there's like this huge fucking girl that's just always like lurking and like looming over the whole level.
Like enormous.
Like her head's like the size of half the level. It's just like a whole thing. And after you go through the levels and you defeat the boss, you get a little resolution to this story. In this case, the farmer, you know, finds one ear of corn or whatnot, and he's super excited about it.
Because it didn't get, like, burned up in the storm.
So he's like,
and so now he's happy.
Yeah, he's happy. He's like, I found a reason to keep moving. And then they do this weird, awkward dance at the end. Like, it's
this whole, like, choreographed dance as if you've just done some epic thing. And you're like, dude, I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
You don't. Like, but I got to say, though, I think that's part of the charm of it. And that's why we kept playing past the first night. Because we were like, this is so weird, but we have to keep, I have to see more. Like, I literally had to see more because it just was, you never knew what was coming your way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it was so weird. We had to sort of keep going to see, like, what are we missing? Are we both actually high right now? Or, like, like what is happening?
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing is, I don't think weird is necessarily a knock. I don't think being weird is a bad thing. Look at a game like Deadly Premonition, for example, which is, some people, it's a top favorite game ever. Some people gave it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I've just recently played it myself, and it's probably one of the weirdest games I've played, but it's executed in such a way that it's also one of my favorite games.
Same. I mean, with Alice, I love that game, and it's pretty weird.
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah, I never played Alice, but I'm talking about a game that's almost so bad it's good. That's kind of like what Deadly Premonition falls into.
Gives you, like, yeah.
But I don't know if Alice fits into that. But anyway, like, getting off track here.
Alice is a good game, but it's just very weird and trippy.
Yeah, like, again, like, weird isn't a bad thing. But I think what we'll probably start talking about soon is just this game just isn't executed well in terms of controls and the platforming itself.
Yeah.
And while the ideas may have been great on paper, I think at the end of the day, it just didn't turn out. But anyway, so you're in these levels that are born from the heart. And as you're progressing, you're collecting what are called balance statues, which are just little sort of hidden. Some aren't hidden. And they're these statues of Balin, which is like the dude with the hat.
Yeah.
And you collect a certain amount of those, which then unlocks more worlds.
It's basically just like collecting stars in Mario. You have to collect enough stars to keep moving forward.
There you go.
That's all it really is.
Yeah. And eventually, as you unlock new costumes, you'll gain access to almost like a changing room.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you'll need to go back and revisit older levels because the costumes might give you an ability that you need to access more statues to unlock more worlds. So I think we've given listeners a basic idea of what the point of this game is. Pretty much you run through the levels, defeat the boss, collect statues, move forward. There's also these little gems called drops, which are used for these little creatures called Tims. But we can talk about Tims in a second. I think we should talk about how does this game control in co-op?
Yeah, this game, the closest that I can think of is when, remember when we were talking about Mario Bowser's Fury and how you were the main control, you played as Mario in that game and I played as like the Bowser Jr. You had control over the camera and I could just sort of control my dude. This game is kind of like that because although both of us can control the camera, it really messes one or both of us up if two people are trying to do that.
And it only follows the first player, which is me.
Right. And so the camera doesn't follow me. Now, if I get anywhere near you, and I think this is kind of hilarious, if my character comes anywhere near you, they snap together. It's like a magnet. They'd like together.
It's this weird, but kind of, like, I get where they were going with that because I can't tell you, friends, how many times we lost Jason off the screen.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just, like, jumping around.
And we had to use, like, echolocation to find him.
I would jump so that my character would be like, yeah.
We would just try to listen for him.
And I'd be like, okay, where is he? To the right or to the left? And we'd be like spinning the camera around.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would just try and like run far enough till I could find an edge to drop off of so I could respawn.
And this is kind of like one of the knocks I have against the game from a technical standpoint and just like a controller gameplay standpoint is, yeah, like there's this one camera. It only follows the first player. The second player is just shit out of luck if they happen to wander off of the screen.
Or if you spin your camera a certain way, I'm just toast.
You're just toast. You just get dizzy. Yeah. But like you said, like this like weird snap sync feature,
magnet
feature. I get why it's there. I think it's to try to lessen the impact of the one camera issue. Because what happens is that we'll just be running right next to each other and all of a sudden we like stick to each other and then I can control the both of us or Jason can control the both of us.
Right.
And
then we're confused because it's like, well, who's controlling what? You know,
so like I could be technically the only one who runs. You could be the only one who jumps.
Right.
But then when you have two different costumes, that could get kind of odd. It's
well, and then you have to run opposite directions from each other for like a second before the characters will break off and like become independent again, which is, it gets annoying to be like, okay, we're stuck again. All right, you go left, I'll go right. And then now we're going to finally break apart. But if you happen to get too close again, it's like a black hole. You're just like stuck together again.
It's a valid attempt at trying to fix the problem, but it's just not perfect. But I guess like at least they had the foresight to see that and be like, hey, we should try to do something about it.
There is one good thing about it. If you're stuck together, then you, in effect, you have a double jump because you can use your jump, which jumps both of our characters. And then I can do my jump, which further jumps both of our characters. Mm-hmm. So you can actually gain this double jump. So that maybe there is a gameplay mechanic to it.
Well, they're actually, yeah, that's a good point.
But it's frustrating though.
It's not like, not ideal. Like a lot of this game, just not ideal. There is an example that I was perusing their website to kind of like try to wrap my head around what this game is before we talked about it. And you were just talking about how, you know, like you can double jump and work together. There are ways where you can combine costumes to work together. So there's this one costume called a pumpkin puncher, which quote allows you to shoot a rocket punch, and an air cat, which lets you walk in the air for a short amount of time. So for example, like we could technically sync up in that point and I could use my air cat skill to like walk to something that you could then punch. And then we could then access whatever secrets behind it.
I see. So
that's probably why that another reason why that feature was implemented.
Strategically combine your different costume abilities in order to do cool and neat things.
Pretty much.
Which, again,
it's like, I think where this game really had like a lot of potential. I mean, we're talking about it, and I think what we're obviously conveying is that it just wasn't all executed that well. But the idea of these costumes and combining the costumes and creating a platformer around these special, unique abilities is really cool.
I agree. It's a cool idea. The execution just wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a cool idea.
You know, I don't know if we've talked about combat. Sorry to jump if that's already on your list, but I like combat.
Oh, go ahead. Let's go.
Well, what I wanted to talk about with combat is it's weird that there really just isn't much. I mean, we got through, what, like three worlds or something, or environments? Mm-hmm. And most of the worlds are just kind of like puzzly platform. Like, how do you get to where you need to go? Make sure you find all the statues that you need to find and gems. But when it comes to combat, I still don't even quite know how to like do damage to them. I would kind of hop on them sometimes. And when it came to bosses, sometimes just simply touching the boss would seem to deal damage to it.
Yeah.
But other times if you touch the boss, you get damaged by it.
I think when you think of like a staple platformer like Mario, right? Uh-huh. The combat consists of, unless you have some cool like costumes that let you do some fun stuff, basically you run and you jump. There's Goombas throughout the games. There's Koopas. There's all their sorts of enemies that you just have to try to dodge and avoid and jump on. In Balan Wonderworld, there's a few per level, and I don't even really know what they are. And it feels like they only pop up when you trigger an event.
Yeah.
And it's just maybe a few wisps or something you have to jump on. So there's not a lot of combat. It's just kind of like a platformer without enemies for the most part. I mean, there are bosses, but...
But I found that so puzzling. There's actually more non-combat NPCs, I think, in this game. Just like random animals and characters and silly things that are like literally just dancing around. And at certain times, you'll just like walk in, you know, from one stage to another, and randomly they'll all just like appear and start applauding you. Like, you've just done something so cool.
But we don't know what we did.
And we're like, what did we do?
We'll take the ego boost.
But now there's a line of characters that are dancing and applauding for you in this cheerful music.
You know, like,
and that's part of what, where you're just like, what the fuck with this game? Yeah. Like,
I don't know what I did, but
what did I do?
You know, I don't know if it didn't feel weird to me that there's not combat in this game, because I feel like this game is just more about trying to
experience
an adventure,
story.
A story. It's obviously meant to be attractive to young children, perhaps, maybe people who just want a quote relaxing experience.
Sure.
So like, I think it would have felt weird with too much combat in it, but like, it's a good point to bring up, is it's very simple. I mean, from what we've seen,
yeah,
first like four or so levels, like very, very, very simple.
Yeah.
We did do a boss fight where it was a little bit more complex, but again, like nothing you haven't seen in the first couple levels of a Mario game.
No.
Mm-hmm. The other part of this game that I think we gotta talk about is the Tims. So Tims are
these, please tell me, what are these?
I had to do some research. So Tims are these little like rabbit slash chicken hybrid creatures that never really get a real explanation as to like what their purpose is or why they're there. So they are, quote, mysterious creatures that live on the island of Thames. And apparently they're born from the happiness felt by inhabitants of the real world. And it's the island of Thames is your central hub for where you're going to access all of your levels. It's kind of like just this big patch of grass with other things on it that you have to, then all the other levels are connected to it. Anyway, that's where you're going to end up after you finish each level.
Is it kind of like an overworld map in a sense? Would it be like Mario's Castle?
Kind of like Mario's Castle, yeah, sure. But like kinda, the most basic sense of it.
Yeah. It's like just a green prairie.
So while you're playing the levels, you collect these things called drops, and apparently you can then feed your Tims, and each Tim's colored makes them do a different thing. Like, honestly, like, we can't even talk about this that much because we don't even know what's happening. All I know is if you throw a small Tim at a big Tim, they bang and you get an egg.
and then an egg pops out.
And then there's, on the island of Tims, you're trying to build this thing. I don't know what you're trying to build.
Is it like a tower or something?
It's like a tower. And the only way you build it is by the Tims working on it.
Yeah, Tims are like little colored blobs that just blob around. And it's bizarre. They eat gems.
Apparently,
we don't know why.
Like, red Tims are good at attacking. Pink Tims can find items for you. I don't know if I've ever seen them fighting alongside us before.
I don't think I've ever seen them doing anything.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't ever make any attempt to explain what these are, why they're there, what to do with them.
But like, it's another, like, weird factor. It's one of those things that, again, if you're like, hey, I like weird fucking games, you're going to be all about it. But, like, I feel like we've talked enough about what this game is or what it's trying to be. We're kind of at the part of the show where we would talk about our criticisms. But I think for me, like, the main thing I'm getting at here is, again, I don't think being weird is a bad thing. I think it can be a really, like, charming attribute in a game like this. I think where this game fails is obviously, like, we've talked about how it handles not great. The camera, for example, is just kind of like I see what you're going for, but didn't work very well. Lack of explanation as to what you're doing and why you're doing it is there. There's just some issues, too, with the camera making you feel dizzy and sick. I mean, when we were playing co-op, there was some weird, like, rolling. It's like a fever dream.
Yeah.
And I get the sensation in kind of, like, reading about the development of this game. Sounds like they try to build in too much without enough dev time. You know, it's kind of like, okay, let's add in 80 costumes. Okay, let's add in this Tim system. Okay, let's add in these statues and these mini games. And let's add in these stories. And it just feels like it's trying to do too many things instead of doing just a few things well.
That makes sense. Yeah, it does feel like there's a lot of fluff in here. And I just can't help but think that, like, most of the stuff that's in there is either just puzzling or just flat out not fun.
Yeah.
You know?
There's just been so many other platformers that have just done it so much better. And, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, like, all I really got to say about.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, I think that sort of sums up the proper criticisms for this game, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so again, like, if this has been something that's kind of piqued your interest, that free demo is there.
Yeah, that's what I would
say. Check it out for yourself.
I would say that if you're like, what the fuck, I got to see this thing because this sounds super weird. Well, it is. Definitely do the demo and sit down with, you know, a glass of wine or whiskey or something like that and just give it an hour or two.
You don't even need the wine or the whiskey.
No, you'll already feel like you're on it. but you might get some just good laughs. We actually got some good laughs out of this game because we were like, what is going on? You know, it was weird.
I can't say I regret playing it.
No, me neither.
I don't think we're going to go back to it, but the few hours we did spend with it were just laughs. And it was kind of like, what are we playing? And for a while, like, I wanted to keep playing because I just wanted to see, like, how much more odd can this get?
Same. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the demo, if it gives you said it gives you three levels.
Yeah.
That's probably plenty of time with this game.
Honestly, that's a good
point. You can probably get a good amount of entertainment with the demo itself and then just call it a day, like with this game. And that would actually probably be a fun Friday or Saturday night for you and your co-op partner. That, I think, would be the right way to play this game.
I think so, too, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. One other thing I do want to touch on, which is kind of fun because we don't see this very often, are the reviews of this game. So real quick, if you check Balan Wonderworld on Metacritic right now, it's scoring anywhere from like a 27 to a 57. So think
27. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Think of that as like a 2.7 to a 5.7. So a high two or a high five, right? Mm-hmm. High five. If you look at the user scores, they range all the way from a 6.8 to an 8.8. And now
what's going on?
There's no way, in my personal opinion, this game is above anything than more than a five. There's just, I mean, it got, it's visually looks cool. The soundtrack is great. Idea is there. Just, I could not give it more than a five.
Yep.
But if you read the reviews, the user reviews, which are reviews that, you know, consumers leave, they're all structured very similarly, all using more or less the same broken English. Sentences are structured, the way the paragraphs are structured, it's very obvious that someone, and I'm not saying the developer, I'm not saying Square, I don't think it's them, but probably a disgruntled fan had someone like paid to write these reviews and positive review bomb.
Have we ever seen that before? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's happened before for sure. I think we obviously hear about it more when it's negative review bombing. Yeah. But and by broken English, what I mean is like the same grammatical like feel to it.
Yeah.
It's like, this game is very good, period. And it's like, okay, what else? Like, there's no elaboration. Anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of a fun thing. And some people, again, like from like people that I can vouch are real people, have enjoyed their time with it. But giving this game an 8.8 is just out of the question. There's just no way.
Yeah.
But that will do it for our episode on Balan Wonderworld. This has been a fun one. It's been a different one. We were a little like concerned to have how we're going to talk about it. But what I was telling Jason is like, hey, there's going to be times when we're going to play games and we're not going to love them 100%. Yeah. But I don't think that means that we shouldn't talk about them on the show.
Well, as I think about it, I mean, several of our games that we've talked about on the show have been little 1.5 to 3 hour experiences. I think about 39 Days to Mars or even like We Were Here, things like that, where it was short experiences, but we really enjoyed our time with it. I think that the right way to enjoy this game is to obviously play it as long as you want to, but try the demo, have some laughs, see if it's for you, and it might just, you know, fill up your time for Friday or Saturday night, and you guys might be like, hey, that was kind of weird and fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah,
different strokes for different folks or something like that. So friends, if you appreciate what we do here on the Kedwelp Show, if you wouldn't mind, again, leaving us a review so our dog can get a belly rub, he would appreciate it. We would appreciate it. You can get in touch at contact@coopshow.com, or you can visit coopshow.com, or follow me on Twitter at Blonde Nerd, where I talk about video games a lot. It's a good time. I got a burp. I swallowed the burp. All right, friends. Thank you so much for... Oh, I didn't want to burp into the microphone. That wouldn't have been nice. Would you rather have me do that?
No, I would edit it out, frankly.
Screw it. This is how the sausage is made. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye. That wasn't real.